From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
Once again, we count it a privilege to welcome you to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues a series in Paul's Epistle to the Colossians. This particular book sets forth the glorious person and work of the Lord Jesus in a manner designed to increase the believer's love for the Savior and to provide guidance in living the Christian life. Prior to the message by Dr. Cairns, we'll have a devotional thought from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon, as well as some Christ-honoring sacred music. This morning's text is found in John chapter 17 and verse 22. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them. Behold the superlative liberality of the Lord Jesus, for he hath given us his all. Although a tithe of his possessions would have made a universe of angels rich beyond all thought, yet was he not content until he had given us all that he had. It would have been surprising grace if he had allowed us to eat the crumbs of his bounty beneath the table of his mercy. But he will do nothing by halves. He makes us sit with him and share the feast. Had he given us some small pension from his royal coffers, we should have had cause to love him eternally. But no, he will have his bride as rich as himself, and he will not have a glory or a grace in which she shall not share. He has not been content with less than making us joint heirs with himself, so that we might have equal possessions. He has emptied all his estate into the coffers of the church, and hath all things common with his redeemed. There is not one room in his house, the key of which he will withhold from his people. He gives them full liberty to take all that he hath to be their own. He loves them to make free with his treasure, and appropriate as much as they can possibly carry. The boundless fullness of his all-sufficiency is as free to the believer as the air he breathes. Christ hath put the flagon of his love and grace to the believer's lip, and bidden him drink on forever. For could he drain it, he is welcome to do so. And as he cannot exhaust it, he is bidden to drink abundantly, for it is all his own. What truer proof of fellowship can heaven or earth afford? When I stand before the throne, dressed in beauty not my own, when I see thee as thou art, love thee with unsinning heart, then, Lord, shall I fully know, not till then, how much I owe.
Sweet.
On the night before the Lord Jesus Christ was crucified, he instituted an ordinance by which his people were to remember him until his second coming. Known as the Lord's Supper, or Communion, this simple yet profound ceremony pictures Christ's broken body and shed blood through the common elements of bread and wine. Through the centuries, this observance has been a precious and solemn time for the Lord's people. Yet it has also been a subject of much abuse by those who come to this table of the Lord. At the extreme, a person's attitude toward it was a matter of life or death. During the time of the Reformation, many people were burned at the stake for refusing to accept the insistence of the Roman Catholic Church that the elements of communion literally became Christ's flesh and blood. Some groups see these elements as mere symbols, while others find in the Lord's table a much deeper significance. Dr. Alan Cairns recently wrote a short book in which he deals with the Lord's Supper from the scriptural teaching on the subject. Simply titled The Lord's Supper, the book is subtitled An Earthly Encounter with the Heavenly Christ. Its aim is to stir the hearts of believers to enter into the joyful fellowship our Savior holds out to us as we eat this bread and drink this cup in remembrance of him. Let the Bible Speak has obtained a limited number of copies of this publication, which are available to our listeners. The price for each copy of the Lord's Supper is $8, which includes shipping and handling. You may have a copy by sending your check for $8, made out to Let the Bible Speak. You may write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may email us to reserve a copy at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or call our toll-free number, 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Be sure to request your copy of the Lord's Supper today. In just a few minutes, Dr. Alan Cairns will continue his studies in Paul's Epistle to the Colossians as he brings the conclusion of a message entitled Reconciliation with God, Personal, Perfect, and Permanent. The text for the message is found in Colossians chapter 1, verses 21 and 22. And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. We've seen the need for sinners to be reconciled to God, because in his natural unsaved state, man is actively opposed to God. We've also seen the dramatic intervention of divine grace. By his death on the cross, the Lord Jesus Christ has removed the hostility which existed between God and his people. The means of reconciliation lies in Christ having made himself our peace offering to God. Finally, there is the purpose of reconciliation. It is our eternal glory, as Christ presents his blood-washed people holy, unblameable, and unreprovable in God's sight. And now with today's message, here is Dr. Alan Cairns.
Nothing worse than for God's friends to try to be friends with the world. You can't be that. If you're strangers and pilgrims, then live that way. Abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, living honest lives among the Gentiles, behaving among the strangers to God as those who are the friends of God, behaving in a way that will tell men and women, we're strangers to your wickedness and your way of life, but we're near and dear to the heart of our God because we're reconciled to him by the blood of his Son. Holy, already cleansed and separated unto God. But then unblameable. That would speak of us being without spot or without blemish. At first sight, you'd think it's sinless perfection, and we all know that we have not yet reached sinless perfection. But yet, you know, we read in Numbers 23, starting at verse 19, the words of Balaam, who sought to curse Israel because he could see sin in Israel, and Balak, who commissioned him, brought him to where he would see the unworthiness of Israel. But Balaam had to say, God is not a man that he should lie. Let me ask you to make sure you know where this text is. If you've never memorized it, memorize it now. It'll be one of the greatest promises you can ever employ in prayer. And if you really learn to lay hold of it, it will change your prayer life and the confidence with which you lay hold of God. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the Son of Man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? Then he says this, Behold, I have received commandment to bless, and he hath blessed, and I cannot reverse it. And then this incredible statement. He hath not beheld iniquity in Jacob. Now that sounds strange. Did not God upbraid Israel for their sin? Did he not convict them of their murmuring and their unbelief? Oh, yes, he did. God was fully aware of all that would breach the fellowship that his people should have with him. But when it came to somebody trying to curse them or condemn them, their sin was under the blood. God hath not beheld iniquity in Jacob, neither hath he seen perverseness in Israel. The Lord his God is with him, and the shout of a king is among them. Already unblameable in the sight of God, and unreprovable, perfectly justified, beyond accusation or charge. Romans chapter 8, 33, 34. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. In other words, he's saying, this is not just a future thing. Justification is operative here and now. The people of God cannot be cursed. The people of God cannot be accused. The people of God cannot be charged for their destruction. Can't happen. Why? Because God justified them. Because Christ died for them. Christ rose again for them. Christ is at the right hand of God for them. Christ is making intercession for them. Four immutable pillars upon which Christian security stands. Here it is. This is the present dignity of believers, but it's also their future destiny. We often think of those words in Ephesians 5, and because they're usually read at a marriage service, we emphasize the duty of husbands here. And of course, every woman knows that husbands need to be reminded of their duty. That's why they're so good at reminding us. Well, while this speaks to husbands, it reminds us first and foremost of Christ. Husbands, love your wives. Now, let that be accepted, and let husbands do that. But for a moment, let us just put the husbands to the side, and let's see the great prototype here. Let's see Christ himself. Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, that in order that he might sanctify and cleanse it. There's the holy, with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle. There's the without blemish and without spot, or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish, unreprovable for all eternity. That's the ultimate goal. He's going to do that. There's a day coming when the weakest believer, the most stumbling Christian, justified freely by the grace of God, will be gathered up in the whole body of Christ and will be presented there purer than the creation of an angel. It will happen. It cannot fail to happen, because there's no taint of failure in the death of Jesus Christ. Now let's come full circle. The Lord found us a people who were hateful and full of hatred against him. He found us a people who were hostile to him, a people who were dead set in our enmity to God. He could have dealt with us in pure justice, and we could not have had one word of complaint. Had God damned us to the deepest hell, from hell we must have lifted our voice and said, O Lord, thou art righteous. He could have dealt with us in pure justice, but thank God he dealt with us in love and grace. We were enemies, but he reconciled us. Notice the action is his. He reconciled us in the body of Christ's flesh through death. And he brought us into fellowship and into friendship making us nigh with a reconciliation that is personal and perfect and permanent. You were sometime alienated and enemies, but now he has reconciled you. That's the testimony of every Christian. The question you have to answer today is simple. Is it my testimony? Can I sing the words that we were singing in Robert Murray McShane's hymn, "I once was a stranger to grace and to God"? Or do you have to say, "I still remain a stranger to grace and to God"? Make sure you know where you stand with God. And if today you're out of Christ, perhaps blessed with all those blessings that I enumerated earlier, and you're employing them all in a hateful rebellion against your God, if you're found still out of Christ, make sure today that, recognizing your sin, you call on him for mercy and cry to him to deal with you through the merits of his blood and bring you into friendship, fellowship, perfect reconciliation with God. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Let us all pray. In just a moment, the meeting will be over. As Dr. Barrett said, there will be a few minutes between this and the service to follow, and you'll be free to leave. Is there a more beautiful word on the lips of the Lord Jesus than that which he spoke to his disciples? "Ye are my friends." Is there anything we need more to hear than that assurance from the Lord Jesus? "You are my friends." I wonder, is that what he has to say to you today? I wonder, have you ever been reconciled to God, brought out of your wicked works of rebellion, and brought into the saving merits of Christ's sacrifice? If not, then let me call you to Christ. The command of Scripture is, repent and be converted. Make sure you come to Christ to be brought nigh to God, for there's no other way. And if you are saved, if you're made nigh to God, then remember what Peter said. You're now a stranger and a pilgrim in the earth. So abstain from fleshly lusts that war against the soul. If you're a friend of God, then live that way. For his blood has power to keep you holy, unblameable, unreprovable, even in this filthy world.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.